I've heard a couple of quotes just recently that I quite like, so I'll give you those, and then we'll... That God can take nobody and make them somebody in front of everybody without asking permission of anybody. All right? So God can take you and I, and he can make us a somebody in front of everybody without asking permission from anybody. And my other one is, I really like this one. Let God be glorified. Let the saints be edified. And let the devil be terrified. And I thought, I like that. I thought, yeah. So today, Father, we pray that you will be glorified, that your people will be edified, and as a result of it, may the devil be terrified. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and the saints of God say, amen. Amen. Right, we're going to take you to a familiar story. Problem with being a preacher is you think you know a scripture, or you've preached it over and over again, and all of a sudden you hear and see something and you think, ooh. So turn with me, if you will, to Luke 15, and we start at verse 11. It's the story of the prodigal son. You all know it, so hopefully God can give us something you don't know. And we start at verse 11, Luke 15 and verse 11. Now there was a man, he had two sons, and the younger one came to him and said, give me my inheritance. I can't wait for you to die. That's a summary of it, isn't it? I want it, and I want it. You got it. So the father says, and the father divided up all his livelihood. Now, remember, the father had two sons? So the younger son is the prodigal. Who knows what prodigal actually means? I had to look it up. Come on, really. It means wasteful. When he goes off and has prodigal living, he's just wasteful living. He just wastes everything he had. And he had an older son. And we always talk about the younger son, and we'll sort of go through him a bit. But really, remember the older son. When he comes to his dad and says, now, will you divide up the inheritance? Who knows what's supposed to happen now? That the older son would get a double portion. Always remember this in this story, because you think somehow or another something's... You and I don't realise what we've got. This was where we'll end up. But ready? There's another story in the book of Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 21, verse 17. And it's a man who marries one woman who he don't love, and then he marries another woman who he does love. But God, being a just God, says this in 21:17. He says, but he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by him, by giving him a double portion. So the firstborn right is always to get a double portion. Those of you who like your Bible, you also need to realise this. The firstborn, what? Gets the patriarchal blessing. Remember? Israel. Jacob. Calls all his sons together. Joseph brings his son. And you're blessing the wrong one. This one's the firstborn. So again and again and again throughout your Bible, you will see this blessing that comes with being the firstborn. So now, hang on, you've got a double portion, and you've got a blessing that comes with it. Another one, Elijah and Elisha. Two kings. Chapter 2 and 3. I'm going away. What do you want? I want a double portion of your spirit. Remember that one? I'm just giving you this for you to do some homework when you get home. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm not going to get into this too far. Verse 16. No. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Speaking of the church, you have come to the general assembly and to the church of the, pardon me, firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. We are the double portion people. Not you, but some of us are the double portion people. You're going to see in a minute, the whole aim of me trying to say to you today is this boy didn't understand what he had. The oldest boy didn't understand what he had. And you'll get there with me. Let me give you a quote just so you think I'm profound. Andrew Murray said this, that this church on earth is enrolled in heaven, but not yet gathered in. They are the firstborn. And he goes on to say some more. We have brothers who have gone before, but this is the church of the firstborn. And the excitement is, I can feel it, waves. It's just, if you see what God has done for you in Christ, by the time I finish today, do you want the title? Nigel wants the title, it's this. He says to the eldest son, right at the end, you are with me always, and everything that I have is yours. That's a touch.
It's all right.
Make it up like you normally do. All right, so back. Let's get back to the story then. So the prodigal son, off he goes, and wastes his possessions with prodigal living. Wasteful living. Eric Clapton used to have a song which goes, nobody loves you when you're down and out. Everybody wants to be your best friend when you've got something. So there's, you know, the sun goes down to wherever he goes down to. Parties. Everyone loves him. Hey, have another drink on me. Have another drink. Oh. Until his money runs out. And then your story goes on to say, he goes to one of the men of the country and sells himself, well, I'll work for you. And the man gives him a job. See it in its setting. We have now got this young Jewish boy. You can be a pig man. The very thing that God has cursed, you can now minister to. And the verse, sorry, and it goes on, verse 17, aren't you? Let me have a look. 16. Come in. And it says, he would gladly have eaten the pods that the pigs were eating. Who knows? Who have we got? Oh, we have got some vegetarians, I'll be careful. Who eats carob? Carob. Artificial chocolate. Well, I'm going to give you a lesson now. If you look in the margin of your Bible, where it says he would gladly have eaten the pods that the pigs were eating, guess what the cross reference is? He would gladly have eaten carob. So anyway, verse 17 says this. Well, firstly, another little one for you. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Remember that. Use young people and not so young people. Sin will take you further than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. this young boy now, I want to be free. I want to do my thing. But everyone knows there's always a payday for doing your thing. Sin is pleasurable. Don't you look at me like it ain't. For a season. And then, payday surely cometh. So I like verse 17. It says this. But when he came to himself, when he came to his right mind, he said, I will return to my father, and I will say to him, I'm no longer worthy to be called to your son. I want to be one of your hired servants. Well, when he came to his right mind, he thought, even my dad's servants do better than me here. What is repentance? I like that, yeah. Go on. Turn around. Yep. It means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. Now I'm going to tell you why you want to stop something, you want to change your direction, but you don't last very long. Because you haven't had a change of mind. And until you have a change of mind, you will not have a lasting change of direction. Why does the woman go back? She had one waster, messes up there. She goes back to another waster, messes up there. And as the pastor of church, I've seen it again and again and again. And you counseled her and you've spoken to her. But until she gets the revelation that being with a waster is a waste, she will go back and do it again. And that's the same with you and I and all the things that we do in our life. But until you have a change of mind, you will not have a change of action. Or a change of direction. So suddenly this boy came to his right mind and said, I will return. Change of mind that led to a change of direction. Not bad. And another story is lovely, isn't it? So he's on his way back to dad, and dad, it says, and while he was still a long way off, it says the father had compassion on him. Compassion, compressed passion. It actually, if you want your Greek lesson, you've got to have your lunch yet. It literally means to be moved into the depths of your being. It's not just, oh, that's a shame. It's actually to feel something. The father felt the state of his son. And God, listen, we have not got a high priest that is unable to be touched with our infirmities, but is tempted in all ways as we are. We've got one in heaven, seated at the right hand of majesty, who knows what it's like to be us, and is still moved in compassion. It says, and the father came out and fell on his neck. What's the next thing that happens? I'm going to have to be very quick for you, because I want to get to what I'm trying to preach. It says, and then the father calls his servants and says, bring out the best robes. Who's got their Bible? Isaiah 61 and verse 10. This is straight out. You can do that, or someone else. Anyone, first one there. I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on. All right. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. What were we before we were sinners? Before we came home to God? There we were, dirty, contaminated, filthy. And some people keep that mentality. Listen, the moment you became Christian, you who were dead in sins and trespasses, he made alive. He has washed us from our transgressions. We are no, oh, I'm just a dirty old sinner. No, you're not. You are a saint of the Most High God. You have been born again. You are being made into the image of his only begotten Son. You are bear the likeness of Christ. Amen. How dare you say to God that what you're doing in my life isn't right or good? He has clothed us with the garments of salvation. I'm saved. I wish I had more time to... What's the word saved mean? Oh, it means I'm going to heaven. How shallow, how hollow. How well. It literally means to do well. I'm saved. I'm doing well. How are you today? I'm saved. How's your circumstances? They're saved. Because I am a child of God. Now, those of you who really like this stuff, you want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, where it says, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Yeah? Most people stop there. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he has clothed me in the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Bring out the best robe. How does God look at you and I today? Arrayed in the robe of righteousness that Christ has won for us. Come on. That's right. You've got church nicer, don't you? Put the ring on his finger. Signet ring. The Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. It says we have been sealed with the spirit of sonship. I've got a signet ring. I have got something that says I am a child of God. And it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that says to me, cry out, Abba, Father. You're no longer a stranger. You're no longer an alien. But you are a member of the household of God. You are a child of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God. And that we are. Put sandals on his feet. Do you know what he used to do to slaves? Stop them running away. Take their shoes. You're coming home now, boy. You're not going away again. Put sandals on his feet. He's home. That's enough for you to go on now. Well, of course, now the other son, the older son, the double portion son, see, remember this, he gets all pouty, doesn't he? Oh, even better, what happens when you come home? Let's have a party. Yeah, that's what it says. Oh, there's more rejoicing in the heavens over one sinner. Even the angels are rejoicing. That's not what the Bible actually says. The Father says, come and rejoice with me. For my son who was lost has been found. And he calls all his neighbours. Then it goes on to say, and now there is more, because God's having his party, heaven has a party, and the angels join in. Except the religious don't. The son gets a pout on, doesn't he? He hears a party, hey man, what's going on? Your brother, who was lost and dead, and come home, dad's giving a whoop whoop. And it says, and he stayed outside. I'm not going in there. Now, God is so kind and so gracious, is he not? It says, and the father came out to him. I was just stewing it, man. No, I'm not going, am I? God came out to him. Put my glasses back on somewhere. Where are we up to? You're there. Right. This is the bits we need to get to. Listen to the son's statement. These many years I have been serving you. He saw himself as a servant, as a slave, but not as a son. Listen to me, Christian people. It's so easy to see yourself as a servant, as a slave, but not as a son. I serve God now because I owe him a debt I cannot repay. But I do not serve him to get something out of the deal. If I'm really good, he might. Because that's what the next son, that's the next thing he says. Listen, all these years I have served you. Ready? I never transgressed your commandments at any time. I'm working out my salvation by works. Look how good I am. Ready? You will never be good enough. And if you could be good enough, grace would not be grace. Because grace, by definition, is undeserved, unmerited, and unearned. That's what makes it a gift. That's why today you can stand in the grace of God. That's why the Bible says you're accepted in the Beloved. That's why it says we can boldly come before the throne of grace and receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. And I've not got time to give you some more Bible than that. And the last one is this. You never gave me a pie. You never give me a goat for my friends. You're holding out on me. Listen. How comes Ken's always happy in garden? Well, somehow or another, it's not an even playing field. Listen, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 says this. Pardon me, chapter 2, verse 11. There is no partiality with God. God has no favorites. Each one of you is his favorite. Graciously, while I can have a quick sip, turn to the person next to you and say, I am the favourite of God. And did they all snarl at you? A favourite, one who receives favour. If you're a Christian today, you receive the favour of God. Therefore, you must be, by definition, his favourite. I don't know if I agree. Well, yeah, suck lemons. Stop now, quick. I'll get in trouble. All right. Now, I will be quick for you now. So, this is it. What time did you fall out of here? 1 o'clock, did you say? All right. Son, you are, listen to this, ready? This New King James. Son, you are always with me. But just in case you didn't believe me, listen. Authorized version. Thou art ever with me. New American. Son, you have always been with me. New Living Translation. And small print. Look, dear son, you are very close. Message Bible. You're with me all the time. Can I just give you something? Son, you are always with me. Do you feel it right now? Good. I've done something then. See, I think many of us have got this, well, if I'm good, that'll love me. But if I'm not that good, and that will bring a distance, that will bring a separation. And somehow or another, on this greasy, slippery pole of trying to earn our way to the Father's favour. You will not do it. Christ has already done it for you. All you can do is accept it and enjoy. Son, you are always with me. A few scriptures for you very quickly then. Ready? Isaiah 49:16. I've got you inscribed on the palm of my hands. Tattoos, or an interesting one, when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he showed him his hands. Yeah? The nail-scarred hands. Somehow or another, our identification with Christ's suffering. You are inscribed on the palm of my hands. And I've not got time to, because you could preach any one of these. What about this one? Matthew 28:20. I am with you always. Hebrews 13:5. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the river, through the flood, through the flame, through the fire. Psalm 23:4. Even when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. For life, through death, for eternity. Thus we are always with the Lord. Can someone say amen? Amen. Son, you are always with me, even now. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever condition. All I have is yours. Do you know that boy could have partied any day? He just never asked. It's all it is. See, you have not, the Bible says. Why do we not have? Because we ask not. 2 Peter 1:3 says what? He has given us all things. Just, you know, say it under your breath or say it through gritted teeth. All things that pertain to life and godliness. You have not because you ask not. And this morning, you know, I've been pondering on this morning. And you know I love this stuff, so. And I'll close-ish. Well, son, you're with me always, yeah? And all I have is yours. And I'll just give you a picture, and then you can work on it. It's a good one, and I think I will ponder on this. It's Exodus 25. Let me make sure I'm right. No, 28. And it talks about, well, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says we've got a great high priest over the house of God. Where is he now? Seated at the right hand of heaven, ever living to make intercession for us, yeah? Carrying out his priestly function. As I was pondering on that, I was drawn, as you are, to the priestly garments. Who remembers them? It says, on his shoulders, he had these two great stones. Six on this side, the names of Israel. He carries Israel into the presence of God. Just love it. Because then he goes on to say, and you wear this breastplate thing. And on it were 12 stones. Those of you who like your homework, 12 is the number of completeness and the number of government. He carries us each one of us into the presence of God. Ready? But each stone was different. Each one of us, unique. Each one of us, precious. And Jesus carries us into the presence of God. Because the next thing you need to see is, where is it? It's close to his heart. Jesus, we could only get this revelation of him today, seated at the right hand of majesty with us, close to his heart, ever living to make intercession for you and I. What I try to say to you today, listen to me. See yourself as a son, not as a servant, and not as a slave. Remember the old pierce my ears stuff? Because I want to be with you. I want to serve you. Not because I've got to. I'm not trying to earn something. It's because you've given me so much. See yourself as a son. And next, as a son, all that I have is yours. Why? Because we are the firstborn sons. Sons of the double portion. If you haven't got anything today, then go home and read your Bible. Shall we stand in the presence of God? For someone today needs just to see. Firstly, maybe there's one in this house today that don't know that Christ is a saviour. Maybe you're the prodigal, you've been out there doing your thing. When you come to the end of your thing, you come to God. And it says, while you were afar off, Father reached out to you. And he sent me today just to tell you that Jesus died for you, paid for your sins. And if you will accept him today as your saviour, you will know what it is. Sins forgiven. Maybe there's one or two today in this house who have been a bit prodigal, wasted all that God has done for us. Or looking at God as mean, or he's got favourites. Or maybe you're really, really good. You're trying really, 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 really hard to please him. But knowing that somehow or another, he's not ticking the box. Well, today, I think Father sent me just to tell you this. That you're a son. That's a genderless term in that sense. You're a son. You're a double portion person. You're not just getting by. He's a God of the more than enough. Why? Because he says this to you today. All that I have is yours. You are always with me. So as we close, can you just raise your hands to him? You can just thank him for his faithfulness, for his goodness, for his grace. Even now, he is bearing you before the throne of God, and he is bearing you over his heart. He carries you on his shoulders. This morning, Father, this afternoon, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. We want to bless you. We want to bless you. Come on. Maybe you've not done it for a while. Maybe it's time you just bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I will bless the Lord at all times. He has clothed me in the garments of salvation. He has arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. We give you praise and we bless you and we thank you. Lord, you are good and your mercies endure forever. And the saints of God say, amen and amen, Pastor. Hallelujah.